Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of Global Gaming Business, and today we speak with Lubov Lomonova, the CEO of Unicom Gaming, a major slot manufacturer based in Russia. Lomonova took over the helm at Unicom in January. She assumes leadership during a difficult time for the company as it tries to transition from its traditional Russian base to a more broad-based market. Gaming is scheduled to close down in Russia by the end of this year, so Unicom has reached out to other regions to sell its products and services. And the company does have some impressive products and systems, a point Lomonova is proud to make. She spoke with me at the International Casino Exposition in London in January.
Lubov Lomonova, thanks for joining us on the Global Gaming Business Podcast. It's great to be able to talk to you and talk about your company. You've just assumed the presidency of the company. Tell me what led to that. Why were you chosen to be president?
It's our company is growing rapidly, and because of a new different deals that we have to cover, and different areas, so it's not too much people who can be in head of it. That's why we divide a company in two different levels and directions, and I have to be CEO of one company, and previous CEO, Valery Klosov, he start to be a head of another destination of our area. That's why it happened.
Explain the shape of your company now. What are some of the products and what are some of the services you provide?
The company, first of all, Unicom, it's one of the biggest companies in Russia, and I think the only company who survived after this crisis in Russia, in Russian industry. Unicom, I think it's already something like 15 years on the Russian market, and so all customers know, all operators know Unicom brand. After Russian market start closing, because it was not too much market and not too much sales and everything, we start to look on other markets. And I think we're already 2 years in worldwide market, and we're trying to battle with such big competitors like Aristocrat, Novomatic, and others. So I think we'll succeed because we already have not too big share of the market like Aristocrat or IGT did, but we already start, and I think in a few years, like when it will be 65 years of Unicom, I think we'll be much more bigger than Aristocrat did.
What are some of the markets you're targeting now? Now that the Russian market has virtually closed down, what are some of the markets that are targets for Unicom?
First of all previous USSR markets are quite big, and they're starting to grow. And for us, it's very easy to develop our product there and to promote it, because a lot of operators from Russian market that were closed start to move somewhere. And the nearest places to go was Ukrainian, Belarusia, Tajikistan, previous USSR markets. Also, a lot of operators start to grow in Europe markets, Italian, Germany, Romania, Baltic states. And then we develop a product for Mexican markets. For us, it's very easy to grow because of operator, our shareholder in Unicom, are the same shareholders in Ritsu Group. As soon as Ritsu developing, we have the good chance to test the products and to develop the product for them.
So Ritsu and the folks there, are they your parent company? Is that the way this works?
It's different companies, but we have the same shareholders.
Okay. Do the people in Ritsu kind of design where you're going? They talk about what Unicom is going to be?
It's not like they telling what Unicom have to be. Unicom decide where to sell and what to do themselves.
Right.
But it gives very good opportunity. For example, they know what product they demand, for what area, how it have to work, what it be, and they. So it's easy for us to understand the demand of the market.
Okay.
How have you had to adjust your product line, your product mix, your game styles to move into new markets? What have you had to do with your product line, as technologically, from an R&D standpoint?
We have a big. We have normally Unicom. We have very big production facilities. We have four factories in St. Petersburg, in Moscow, in Ukraine, even five in Siberia and in Belarus. So we have R&D team. It's working in Russia, in Moscow, in St. Petersburg. And we are making the sales guys are telling what market are growing. And after it, we make the task for R&D, what product we have to develop. But it normally takes a lot of time because, for example, the product for German market, it differs. For Italian, it also differs. For Mexico, it differs. For Russia, it also differs. So it's not so easy as we thought it have to be.
Are you targeting any of the Indian gaming markets in the United States?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We already have a product for it, and we are testing it on the market right now, and I think it will be very successful.
Is that a Class 2 machine?
Yes, bingo type.
A bingo type machine,
yes.
Okay. And is that also what you're developing for the Mexican market, the same kind of machine?
It's different types. It's first of all bingos, and it's skill games, something like this, that can be adjusted for the legislation in Mexico. So it's...
And how about the South American markets? Are you interested in there as well?
South America, it's something similar with Russian market because they every time change the laws,
right.
Change the government and everything, so it's difficult. But it's strategically, it's very... I think that we cannot invest money for long terms because I cannot look on this market more than 1 year because it can be changed. The same happened in Russia. The same can happen in Ukrainian markets, and so that we're afraid a little bit. Right. With it.
Now you've got you've been licensed in a lot of jurisdictions. Is the challenge of being licensed in the United States one of the reasons that you won't be in there in the near term?
No, we are in Latin America.
Uh-huh.
And we are dealing in all regions, but of course it's requirements of certification, homologation, and it takes time. In different laboratories, and it's difficult. But we are doing it, and we have a big team who is doing paperwork. We have some distributors who help us in this. So
when you develop a new machine, you put it in for GLI approval pretty quickly?
Yes, but normally we just now passing the GLI approval because we was working in Russian market and the Russian market don't require for GLI certificate at all. So when we face that we have to get this GLI certificate, we understand that all our products are not passing the GLI standards.
Last year you completed a merger with Smart Games. Tell us how that affected the company and did it actually strengthen the company?
When we decided to merge the companies, Smart Games have a very good team of people. So normally it was existing company and with very good marketing, sales, and everything like this, and very with strong manufacturing base. Unicom have a very good name, known on the market, and they have games and R&D people. So we joined it, and normally it was normally previously I was working in Smart Games, and for me it remains the same. Only we have. It was difficult for us because for me Unicom is really something like big, and when people come and you have to be like a big person.
Is there one product that you consider your most important product or the flagship of your product line, something that everybody has to have?
On the show we show the new product. It's WAP World Area Progressive Jackpot Crazy Squirrel. Yes, and it's quite nice because it's first of all it's cheaper and it's looking nice and it's on a world level, and I saw that nobody have the same theme because normally everyone thinking about doctors, trains, football, and all making the jackpot on the same themes, and nobody have squirrels.
Moving into Central Europe, do you find you've had to? Offer more of a multiplayer product or add it to your mix?
Yes, we are also thinking about making the multiplayer product, and now R&D is developing the product. It takes time. It's funny thing that our sales guys, they are divided for different destinations, and all of them at one moment come to R&D and demand for product for Germany, product for Macau, product for Latin America, and R&D, it's just, we have no 10 different groups of R&D. So it's one group, and we make the schedule, and they're working on the schedule. It's also, it's maybe a task to increase the quantity of people in R&D, but it's salaries, you have to give tasks, and every time people are, you cannot hire people and they fire in a few months, so it's big.
Okay.
big task to have a big group of people.
How about server-based gaming? That's, of course, been the buzzword in the slot industry for the last 4 or 5 years. Are you developing a specific one, or are you going to partner with one of the companies that develops one?
We have our own company in Russia also, and we already have the server-based product. And I think that we will we show it in Las Vegas, and we didn't bring it here because it was not too much time, and we have some problem with customs in Russia. That's why it was lack of products here.
Let's talk about what happened in Russia for a little while. It really impacted a lot of companies, and as you say, it'll probably bankrupt most of the smaller casinos, all of the casinos in Russia, as well as most of the manufacturers. How did Unicom approach that when you found out what was going to happen in with the contraction of the industry there?
It's on the market happened a funny thing, and it was really making jokes about it, because all the companies who previously was making the equipment for casinos, for example tables, chairs, now producing tables and chairs for cafes, restaurants, and other things. People who was doing some metallic cabinets now producing some parking stations or something like this. We have now a lot of normally where it was slot halls, now we have pharmacies in Moscow. It's so you can, previously it was something like slot halls everywhere, now it's pharmacies everywhere. Mm-hmm. And the quantity of machines decreased from, in Moscow it was something like around 68,000 slot machines. Now it's something like 25,000. So it's tremendously go down. And previously when it was slot halls just every 10 meters, now it's you have to pay attention and time to find the slot hall. And but our government signed and we already have the budget for building the zones. So previously when we were thinking that it will never happen, now we see the steps. So government already, this administration of the zones already makes some appointed meetings with the big operators and makes the presentation of the zones. Of course, nobody believes that somebody can build it for in 1 year, because we have to move it before the 2009. But people considering that it will happen, and everyone is looking on one zone really that will 100% be sure that it can happen. It's near Sochi, because of Sochi Olympiada, so I think it will be good project.
Are you hoping that that at least one of these zones becomes almost a Las Vegas type of operation with
so.
A lot of casinos?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Because if it will be there 4 zones and the market there will be somewhere like Macau or Las Vegas, it will be a big market again in Russia.
And
big opportunity for all of us.
Is a Sochi area, is that a tourist area already, or will that have to be developed?
It's just fields.
Okay.
It's just wooden fields.
Just wooden fields.
Yes.
That should be a challenge then.
Do you think the market will ever be numerically where it was when all the other slot halls were open?
No, I don't believe that it will happen.
No.
It was maybe some changes appeared. Something that have to feed into gambling halls, because people, Russian people have to gamble, and otherwise it will be gray market. So I think it will be betting, maybe something, totalizators, so I don't know, but it's something will happen, for sure.
I just have one more question, and it's a personal question, if you don't mind. I'm trying to think of another woman who's led a slot company, and I can't really think of one, and so that makes you kind of a pioneer in this field. Do you feel kind of a pressure now that you have to live up to not only reviving a slot manufacturing company, but also being the first woman to run a company?
You know, it's first of all, first when I start, it was difficult to deal with men. Because it's especially in Russia. Because when you make business in Russia, you have to drink, you have to eat a lot, you have to go to saunas or some somewhere around this. First, it was difficult, and people was especially men was. It was funny stories when I come to some meetings, and everyone ask to acquaint them with a daughter of a man with whom I was coming. So I was very young. And now it's okay. I already understand how to do it, how to deal with men, different approaches, because you cannot just come and do it like this.
Yeah.
You need to have a special approach to all of it.
Right. Well, a lot of times when women are aggressive, they don't think of them the same way as a man would be aggressive. Do you find that's a problem for you?
You know that everyone tell me that I'm too aggressive, and even much more aggressive than a man.
Yeah.
So people tell me, be quiet, be soft, please, because it's in Russia all people are thinking that if I'm coming to the deal, it's bad for all.
Well, I think you've got a great opportunity here to revive this company and to make it into one of the major slot companies in the world in the next few years. So congratulations on your new position, and let's talk in a couple of years from now when you see how you've done.
It's a good chance for me to show that you can make a big company, not in 65 years and 75, like barely something around this, but you can do it in a short period of time. In Russia, you know that in Russia, when it was Soviet Union, we was making something like 5 years in 1 year. It was a government program.
Right.
So I have the same task.
So you have the same thing.
Yes.
Well, again, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you for choosing the Global Gaming Business Podcast. If you want to learn about any of the issues discussed on this show, go to our website at ggbmagazine.com or subscribe to the industry's most comprehensive newsletter, Global Gaming Business Weekly. We'll see you next week for another edition of the Global Gaming Business Podcast.